What's up, guys? Trevor here with eCommerce Paradise Podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about some of the biggest mistakes that I've made with e-commerce over the years, and maybe you can try to avoid some of them yourself. All right, if you're first time listening to the podcast, you haven't gotten my free niches list, you can go check it out at ecommerceparadise.com/99niches. It's a bunch of highly profitable products that you can sell online and start making money today with dropshipping. All right, so I've made a lot of mistakes over the years. I've started more stores than I'd like to admit, and only a few of them have been really successful. And part of the reason why is because of the niche product, and also because of the trends surrounding those niche products that I was selling. And also, a lot of the mistakes involved the e-commerce platforms I was using, marketing techniques, things like that. So I want to get into some of that stuff and talk to you about like what works and what doesn't, just so that you kind of have a heads up to know what to focus on and what to not focus on. So first of all, niche products. It really makes a big difference when you choose a product that's got a lot of search volume, that you know a lot of people are looking to buy and they can't find locally or in big box stores online. You know, a niche product that's quite complicated also is good, because if you can make a niche website around that product and really explain it well and be the authority, then you set yourself apart from all these big box stores that don't really understand it that well. And so because of that, you're probably going to do really well and be able to sell more expensive versions of them. All right. So choose products wisely when you're going to sell them. Don't just choose a generic product because someone else said it was trendy. You know, do your research and find products that match those filters. They need to have a ton of search volume. Okay, don't just choose products, you know, because they're high profit or high priced, but then they don't have much search volume. Okay, and you know, something you'll find out later on is that you really need to work in a market where there's suppliers that have, well, that are offering dropshipping accounts to online only business owners, right? And you know, not every market is like that. Not every niche market has suppliers that are available like that. The other thing is you want to work with suppliers that have that offer high profit margins to online-only businesses. Some markets and some suppliers just don't. They offer very low margins, or you know, they don't give good margins to online-only stores. You have to have a brick-and-mortar store to get good margins. That kind of stuff often exists. Unfortunately, you won't really find out profit margins until later on. But again, like, it's not the worst thing to start multiple stores and only have one that succeeds. It's pretty common, actually. So you just have to try to go through a few different markets first, probably, you know, at least a few stores to get to the one that's actually going to work really well for you. I mean, sometimes you'll get lucky and the first store you do just ends up working out really well, but that's just beginner's luck. So you've got to get really good at research and consistently going out there and trying to find, you know, trends and consumer trends, market trends, and things like that. You know, for instance, one of the biggest trends that's happening right now is pretty much anything at home because of the pandemic. So if you want to, you know, get into e-commerce right now, taking a thing that people would normally go out and do, like go to the gym or working at an office space, or it's another example, you know, hanging out with friends and partying and drinking, you know, those kinds of establishments are all closed for the most part. I mean, some are open in places, but a lot of them have, you know, curfews or partial lockdowns, that kind of stuff. Only a certain percent amount of people are able to go. But at home, of course, they can't enforce that. So people are buying up all sorts of products to do with working out at home, working at home, and also hanging out and relaxing at home. You know, anything related to bar or game room type stuff is selling really well for the home right now. And that may not always be the way that it goes. You know, as the pandemic eases off the next year or two, it's probably going to go back to people doing it at the normal places they used to, but then that means those businesses are going to be booming. They're going to need to buy new, you know, appliances, new products, right? So you can have an established business that supplies products to the home and to businesses, maybe even to government institutions like schools and the military. All right, so yeah, just keep in mind that trends do change, but sometimes they don't change as much as they just sort of evolve, okay? And you just kind of want to always be on the forefront of that. All right, let's talk about e-commerce platforms, because you know, once you have a good niche, or maybe you've tried a few and you finally found one that works, right? You know, what e-commerce platform should you go with and why? That's a big question, because a lot of people, they see something like Shopify as a, you know, really good e-commerce platform, but it's very expensive. And there's a good reason why it's expensive, because they are really an all-in-one solution. Whereas if you go with something that's free like WooCommerce, you're kind of piecing together a lot of different plugins and you have to pay for everything separately and stuff like that. And not only that, but they don't manage your hosting for you. You have to hire a company to do managed WordPress hosting that may or may not be able to help you with each specific plugin. Your site can crash just from a bad plugin that doesn't play well with another. And if you have a big business based on WordPress and WooCommerce and your site crashes, you know, that sucks. That happened to me a bunch of times when I was doing it back in 2014 with WordPress, WooCommerce, and I got really tired of it, and I decided to go with Shopify instead. And since I've gone with Shopify, I've never had any issues. If they do have some sort of issue, they're working on it, they solve it. I don't have to hire a developer on my end to go in and check my WordPress, you know, WP config file and see what's going on with the HT access file and see what's corrupted. You know, it's just weird how that stuff can get messed up, and it just does somehow. So I would recommend going to a hosted solution like Shopify. If you want to see all my recommended resources actually for e-commerce stores, you can go to ecommerceparadise.com/resources, and I list everything out there. Okay, e-commerce platforms that are hosted, I recommend using hosted email services that are professional, like G Suite. Recommend using voice over IP services. This is all stuff I had to learn in the long run, because in the very beginning, I wanted to do everything for free. And you can start that way. Like, you could just start with a Gmail account that's free, like a Google Voice number. You know, you could do all that, but it just doesn't really look professional. And in the long run, it's going to tie you up. It's not going to allow you to outsource and create a team and build a bigger business. It's going to make you look kind of amateur. And, hey, maybe that's what you want, is just a side hustle to start with, and you're not taking it that seriously. Well, you're probably, if you're going to look at it that way, you're probably not going to get serious numbers coming from it either. Okay. So just keep in mind is if you want to create a serious business, you're going to have to invest and, you know, take it seriously. So just how it goes. So I made a big shift to Shopify. The problem is that when I first shifted, I made a big mistake, and I didn't understand, why I needed to do redirects on all my organic links. And back then I was getting a lot of organic traffic. And so what happened was Shopify has a different URL structure, you know, and then WordPress, you can do like /category/something. Well, Shopify is /collections/products/. So there was a big problem when I switched over. All of my organic links went to dead pages, and I lost all more organic traffic overnight. I wasn't doing much Google Ads back then. I was just getting tons of organic traffic. And so I lost most of my revenue for about a month, or a few weeks at least, until I decided to switch back. I just realized that, number one, I wasn't prepared for it, and I just jumped into it without actually setting up a solid URL redirect plan first. I should have done that first, obviously, but I didn't, and so I made that mistake. Big mistake. And so I switched back to WordPress, but magically I got all my organic traffic back about a week later after I switched back. So it was kind of nice. The next big mistake I made, though, was selling my website too soon. I was really worried that at that point, once I had made that mistake, that things were going to be just permanently damaged. And I wasn't capable. I wasn't confident in my capabilities yet to, you know, either start a new business or take that business and revamp it. Another thing that I actually made a big mistake with was I made a mistake of getting on board with a supplier that had really bad quality products. And unfortunately, they also had bad customer service, but their products sold really well because they were cheap products, you know? And so I was selling on Amazon, I was selling on eBay, both on the same time. And because of the bad product quality, I got a lot of disputes and claims that resulted in getting banned from both platforms. And this is before the days when they were not like refunding merchant fees. So if something was out of stock, we would just get our merchant fee refunded back to us if we had to refund it, which was nice. But now they don't do that anymore. So I don't even sell on eBay or Amazon anymore. I only sell through Shopify, and I only manually capture payments now. I don't automatically capture payments due to the fact that we want to make sure something's in stock and can actually ship before we capture it, because they don't refund your merchant fees anymore through Shopify Payments or Stripe. I believe Square still does. I heard that, but I don't use Square, so I don't know. You'd have to double check that. So I got clicked off those platforms. That was a big mistake working with that supplier through those third-party marketplaces, because those you know, those marketplace accounts can be pretty lucrative over the long run. If you find really good suppliers and things work out, you know, you can make a lot of money. Amazon has tons of traffic. eBay gets tons of traffic. It's a great way to diversify. You know, now what I do, at least with eBay and other third-party sites, is I drive traffic to my site through banner ads and search ads using the Google Display Network. So that's great. So I get to take advantage of their traffic, but I do have to pay for it. You know, back then it was all free, basically. And any rate, I went to go sell my website because I was not confident in my ability to take the business and grow it. And what I ended up having to do was I had to basically tell everybody out there in the internet world what my business was exactly. The name of the website, what we sold, all our suppliers. I basically gave everything away just so that I could get money for the site. I was hoping to get like $100,000 for it or more, but from the time that I went to go sell it to the time I sold it, I got a lot of lowball offers and stuff. I made a mistake and I didn't register it with a proper brokerage firm, like an internet brokerage firm like FE International. And a company like FE International requires people to have a signed non-disclosure agreement before they look at a website and its assets. And they also need to have an account with them. And basically, in order to do that, you probably have to go through a few more hoops than anybody else normally would. I just listed it live for free publicly on Flippa, which looking back was a terrible idea. Anybody in their, you know, cousin could look at that and not have to pay any money to see it or have any kind of account or anything. So anywhere around the world, any scammer could see that, or spammer, or, you know, competitor, that kind of thing. So I made a big mistake there, but I still was able to sell it. Ironically, I sold it off the platform because I wanted to take it down since I was just getting a bunch of lowball offers. And I did take it down, and then somebody wrote me that they had seen it, and they contacted me directly, and I sold it, just directly cash payment off the platform. And shortly thereafter, Flippa kicked me off the platform. I guess they maybe have, like, found out or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. I tried getting back on Flippa years later, and they told me that my account had some weird issue where it looked like I was trying to bid up auctions or something like that. It was really strange. I did buy a few websites from there, but I never did that. I forget what they called it, but it was some strange name that I've never done that before, and it was really weird. But regardless, once they ban you for life. Like, you don't have a chance of getting back on there. If they find out it's you and you try to start a new account, they'll ban you again. Like, it is what it is. It's their business. They can do whatever they want. So they happen to have one of the foremost, you know, biggest, you know, low-priced website auction sites out there. It's like an eBay for buying online websites. But you get a lot of spammy, scammy crap from Flippa. That's the unfortunate side of that. So you have to be really careful what you look at on there. But I guess the good side is I sold my website. Now, I didn't sell it for that $100,000 I wanted, but I sold it. And that was the important thing for me, was that at least I would have a chance to get what I thought the minimum amount of my asset was worth, my business was worth at that time. What kind of led up to that whole situation was also me trying to take on way too much and making a big mistake and opening a brick and mortar shop to actually sell the products. Normally you would open a brick and mortar shop, it'd be like a small office, you might buy one or two for the display and then use it to get more suppliers. But I went all out. I don't know why, but I wanted to do like a whole brick and mortar shop where I would have tons of products on display by many different vendors, even offer service on the products. And I just didn't have what it took to like run the place. I really honestly wasn't serious about it. I was kind of amateur about it. And although I had my heart in it for a while, I sort of lost steam when, you know, we started having strange issues at the shop. Like the shop got broken into one time. Some product was stolen, you know, about $1,000 worth of merchandise. And eventually I got tired of it. And I started realizing that I was kind of putting myself back into that like location dependent job again. I really didn't want to be that in that lifestyle. I wanted to have an independent lifestyle, a location independent life where I could travel the world and stuff. You know, that was my goal. So that's what I did. I decided to get out of the shop. I had to find someone to lease it from me because I had gotten a 2-year lease and I was only 6 months into it. And then happenstance, I was just going to like a convention, a skateboard convention, because I'm into skateboarding. And on the way out, I happened to run into an old friend who's a skateboarder, but also owns a skateboard distribution company and does online business, sort of like me, but in the skateboard world. And you know, he was looking for a brick and mortar shop that was just like mine, where it was like a flex space, where it was like a warehouse or a retail space that could kind of be both. And it was a bit cheaper than most retail spaces in Los Angeles. So he came and looked at it and he liked it. And he went ahead and took over the lease from me and signed a new lease with the owner. And I got out of it. I lost my deposit, but, you know, I wasn't too upset about that. I was just happy to get out of the lease and be back in my apartment working again. I also, you know, that led to selling the website. All that stuff happened at the same time. It was just a crazy series of events. I got out of the shop. Or no, it was during the shop that the Shopify switchover failed. And then it was just after I'd gotten out of the shop that I got kicked off Amazon and eBay right around the same time. And this was like right before the end of the year, 2014. And right at the beginning of the year, I decided to sell the business first month. And then I think I sold it by February 2016 or 2015, February 2015, yeah. Well, that was that. You know, like, mistakes are some of those things in life you just have to kind of look back on and say, you know what, I'm going to learn from that mistake and I'm going to try not to make it again, you know, and try to just live by those laurels. If you get tempted for some reason to make that same mistake again by those same reasons why, just look back on it and say, you know, I promised myself I would never do that again, you know, and just tell yourself that. And then you just, no matter what, you won't do it. You won't take the risk. You won't make the mistake again. Hopefully that works for you. That's what I do anyways, and it seems to work for me. So so after that, the next biggest mistake, I guess, was not starting another online business right away. I take that back. I did try to start another online business right away. Oddly enough, it's so strange how this happened, but I went to Long Beach or Newport Beach to hang out with my parents had taken a trip down there from Seattle, and during the winter, it's warmer down there. So we stayed with them in Newport Beach. There was somebody out there paddleboarding around, and I thought, hey, a paddleboard, you know, that seems pretty trendy and new. And I think back then it was kind of new. And so I thought that'd be a hip product to sell. So I did and looked at it, got some suppliers, set up a really simple Shopify store. Brought some of the products in like I had done with a previous store, did some reviews, did some assembly videos, went out and, you know, actually used the products and stuff. But it just wasn't the same, you know. I didn't grow up paddleboarding or surfing. I grew up, you know, skateboarding and, you know, hiking and stuff like that, riding bicycles. So, you know, those are the things I'm into. I wasn't really into that niche, and I just didn't really understand that it's really hard to like get into a niche if you haven't really been doing it for a long time. If it's new, it's going to take a while to get into it, you know. So it just didn't work out the same way the previous one did, and I tried to run paid ads and it just didn't work out because the suppliers' products weren't profitable enough. The products were too large and required shipping fees that were exorbitant. So it just didn't work out, and I shut the website down a few months later. And so I decided that, and by that time it was like, you know, spring, I decided instead of spending all my time trying to start new businesses on my computer all the time, I want to take a break. Which honestly, looking back, was a mistake. I should have, instead of doing that, I should have actually gone and looked for a mentor, like a coach or a course, and signed up for it at that point so that I would, you know, be able to do it the right way. You know, do it the way that actually works that someone's done before that can teach about it. And then I could have actually launched a new profitable store. You know, the biggest problem, I guess, was that I signed a non-compete agreement and I didn't know what other product to get into at that point. And so that would have been the main thing I would, you know, would have gained from that. So looking back, of course, hindsight's always 20/20, what I should have done. But I mean, whatever. So I made that mistake. I didn't seek out mentorship for a while. I decided to try to do it on my own, and I failed at it. And that's one of the biggest things I look back on now is like, I'm already in my mid-30s. You know, how many more times am I going to try to do things on my own and fail at them before I finally decide to get a mentor and then I can do it right away, you know? And I just made that firm decision right now. Like, if I'm ever going to try anything in life that's out of my abilities, then I need to hire a mentor or a guide to help me to do it. And so far, it's worked pretty well. In the last year, I've hired a surfing instructor, for instance, a few times, and gone on a few different surfing safaris and had a really good time and learned a lot of new skill sets, and it was awesome, and I plan to do that more. I've advanced a lot in my surfing skills. Even though I'm still kind of a intermediate surfer, I feel like I can get farther, and it's just only because I've hired mentors. So that was a big lesson that I learned from those mistakes. Or that one big mistake, honestly. But that mistake I kept on doing until, I can't remember exactly, but I think it was early 2016. The biggest problem was that instead of starting a new business, I kind of dabbled a lot and I went traveling and spent a lot of money on that. And, you know, I spent almost half the money that I had gotten for the website, you know, and that was the sad part, is that before I even had a new business going, I'd already blown through half of my savings. And so I came back after that summer, almost a whole year of like traveling and hanging out and spending money, and realizing I'm almost out of money, not really out, but like I'm going to be out of money in the next few months if I don't get a job or start building a business that's cash flowing again. And so I hustled with both. Instead of getting a job, because I'm not really employable and more of an entrepreneur, they, you know, no job would take me. I actually tried going for a digital marketing job where I would like help people design websites and do marketing. But, you know, obviously they just don't want somebody who already has their own business or whatever. It's not going to work out. So what I decided to do instead was work for Uber and Lyft and drive people around, which is great, you know. I had a car at the time, so it was fine. So I did really well there. I listened to podcasts all the time and I networked with people. Cool. The coolest thing that happened from that is I got to meet somebody who was doing a project with Tony Hawk, who's one of the most prolific skateboarders of all time. And I was actually able to go and join with him on that project. It was a VR project, virtual reality. And I went there and hung out with him for the day and got to, you know, shake his hand and film him doing the interview with the guy. And it was really cool. So that was a good time. But yeah, you know, and so again, I started another couple of different websites during that time when I got back and I was, you know, trying to work, and I had not signed up for a coaching program still. I was really like just trying to figure out on my own, do things the way I did it before. I figured, hey, if I just do them the same way again, I can do it. But the problem was, is that the first business took me like 3 years to get to the point of profitability. I didn't have that much time. So after those next two website failures, and honestly, they're only failures because I didn't know what I was doing. I finally sought out a mentor, and I just started, you know, looking on YouTube for dropshipping videos, and I found one, and I signed up for his course, and I learned a lot of really important things, you know. And half of those things were actually things I already knew. I just needed solidified in my mind. The other half were new things that I could implement that I didn't really understand before. So that was good. And after that, it just seemed like I had a business right away. The only problem was that I still didn't quite understand how to pick a good product. So I kind of started with a broad general site. Another mistake that I made is that, you know, you cannot start a broad general site with e-commerce these days. There's just there's too many of them, and they have way too big a marketing budget, especially with like furniture and stuff. You're not going to really succeed. You're not going to be able to beat Amazon at Amazon's game. You have to pick a niche product to build a website around. And so I started that big broad site, uploaded tons of products, and like one product started selling. So I got lucky and I found one product that actually would sell. And I even started selling, I think, on Houzz. They had a marketplace program back then that I was selling on. So I was making some sales there, and you know, it was like $100 profit per sale or something, 50 to 100 bucks. So I was happy about it. But you know, sales dried up a little bit later, and I think it's because the competition probably just caught on and started, you know, running ads with a higher bid than I did or something like that, you know. And after that, I took to my network. You know, I really just reached out to my network. I was like, who wants to start a business with me so that I can start selling what I used to sell online? Because I know that product works. And one of my friends actually raised his hand and said, I'll do it. So we were going to plan to start a partnership, and it would be his name on the business, and I would be like in the background, and yet I would do the work that would take the business to profitability, and we would share the revenue. And a week later, right before we like sat down and signed the paperwork, I got an email from the guy who sold the website to that he had actually sold the website again to somebody else. And I asked him, okay, well, does that mean the non-compete agreement is void? And he said, yes. So I almost made the mistake of doing that. Luckily, I did not do that. But I go ahead and start the same niche again, using the skill sets that I've learned since then, and boom, it just started taking off. It was great. Dealt with some messed up, crazy things, but that was okay. One of the biggest mistakes I made right off the bat was taking an order over the phone. A guy in New York who was talking like he was some really important guy, and you know, gave his... all his story sounded legit or whatever, and he needed two of these really expensive products, and he needed them right away. And so I take the order over the phone, and back then I didn't know about fraud, you know. So I never really had to deal with fraud with my prior business. I never had that issue. It was really weird. I don't know if it's just because Stripe, you know, does a good job of checking for fraud or something, but regardless, I took an order over the phone and entered the credit card details myself. It was approved. There was a low fraud detection rate from Shopify. A week or two later, after the products were delivered, I got a chargeback. And, you know, turns out the guy wasn't who he said he was. He was using somebody else's identity. It was stealing someone's identity. And I was out a couple $1,000s. Luckily, one of the products had not actually shipped. So we got one of the products back. But the other two, yeah, the other one. Anyways, I was still out like $1,000 at the end of the day, I think. And I was pretty sad about that. But, you know, hey, there's a mistake that I made. And I tried to learn a lesson from it, which was, hey, get a fraud detection software and something that's even willing to cover if there is real fraud, which has happened a few times now. So I'm glad that I work with that, you know, system now. And the one I use now is called ClearSale. It's in my resources on my website, and I've been using them for a while now, and they're great. I pay them a bit of money and they cover me when, you know, things happen, which is fine. So I'm happy with it. But yeah, and then what happened after that? I started growing the business more. Everything happened so quickly. By, I think, May of that year, which is only a few months after I started the website, we had decided that we wanted to sell everything and move to Thailand, because I started doing a bunch of YouTube research on places that are cheaper to live, because Long Beach is really expensive and kind of sketchy, and there's a lot of crime out there, and so I didn't want to be out there too long. And yeah, Thailand popped up as one of the greatest places, and Chiang Mai had this great community, so we wanted to go. Didn't know much about it, just wanted to get out there and figure it out. And we went out there, and at first I was bewildered because it's, you know, it's Southeast Asia. It's totally different from America. But after about a month, I was totally into it and calm and meeting everybody and having a great time. And we did a lot of cool stuff in Thailand. But then we started traveling again. And that next summer, we went to Europe and hired a VA to manage the business. It went great. When we got back, though, for some reason, decided to take Shopify Capital for my store. And I had no reason to take it. I just wanted to have cash in the bank for some reason. It was so stupid. And if you don't know what Shopify Capital is, you can just look it up. It's basically like a cash advance on your business revenue. And so it's quite expensive debt. It's like 10% interest, basically, paid over time with your revenue. You wouldn't think it's a big deal, and it probably wouldn't be a big deal if you have high margin products. Or you know, very low expenses, but I had low margin products and high ad spend. So because of that, my overall business margin was, you know, around 10% or less. And with that 10% debt, you know, that basically meant that I was going to be running through that capital really quick, and then also have to pay back the you know, the interest on that loan. And then I think I can't remember how much I took out. It was a lot though. You know, so anyways, what ended up happening was I got into a crunch by the end of the year, and I was pretty bummed about that. And because of that, I had to sell my business. I didn't have much of an option. I was about to just go super into debt and be struggling like crazy. Unfortunately, it is what it is. Things happen. Big mistake, but I learned from it. Never do it again. Even if I'm tempted today, I don't do it still, just because it's not worth it. You know, the only time it'd be worth it is if you had something to invest in that was business related that would bring you higher than 10%, obviously, as a margin. Okay, so I had to sell the business again. I tried to sell it through an actual brokerage this time. The same kind of thing happened. We had a bunch of miscommunication and low ballers and stuff. So I didn't end up selling it. Months later, I ended up contacting one of the guys that I had, you know, had a conversation with about it, and they decided to buy it at that point for a much discounted price, much lower price than before, than I wanted. I think it was like maybe 2/3 of what I had been looking for. So I sold it, which was fine, and got some money in the bank, great, and decided to start the second business, which is in a similar niche, which we had discovered, and started doing pretty well there. And then I made the same mistake again. I took Shopify Capital. You know, and it's just looking back, I'm like, why in the world would I do that? But again, I got lucky after that. I don't know how this happened, but I ended up, you know, I was in touch with certain entrepreneurs, and one of these guys knew another guy that had a lot of money through a hedge fund or something. He was raising money with investors, you know, to invest in businesses that were online, and they were interested in acquiring some stores, and our stores were on the radar because, you know, they were doing well. And so he acquired both the stores for a lot more than they were worth. I just got really lucky, honestly. You know, and paid off the debt, and I had a bunch of cash. And then made the same mistake I had done before. I just sat around. I didn't really try building a new store out. I ended up focusing on building out my membership site and my course, which is great because I now have that. But the stores that I built out were not in good niches, and they ended up failing. So, you know, and they were supposed to be case studies for the course, which was unfortunate. But regardless of that, I ended up starting a new business eventually and did really well. But in that whole process, I ended up actually deciding to get divorced. And, you know, looking back, that was a really, really tough decision. I don't know if I would call it a mistake. I think more honestly, it had to happen because me and my partner at the time were just kind of going separate directions with our lives, you know. And I was really trying to get more into e-commerce and entrepreneurship. And she was trying to honestly get out of it or just not really be as much involved in it because it's very stressful for her. So I think it was for the better. Unfortunately, it had to happen. It was really painful for both of us. And, you know, not only that, but like all of our finances were intermingled. And it was really tough to like figure everything out. And a lot of money got thrown around and wasted during that time. 2019 was the year, last year, well, year before last now. But it was, you know, it had to happen, you know. So, okay, I made some mistakes throughout that process, I would say. But I almost feel like if that didn't happen, if I hadn't made those mistakes, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I'm very happy with where I am today. So, you know, I've learned a lot from all these mistakes. And I think the key takeaway here is that whenever you make a mistake in your life, no matter how bad it is and how bad it seems at the time, it's probably not as bad as it seems. Like, you can get out of it. But just don't make that same mistake again. No matter if you find yourself in the same place, in the same situation, think back to that time you made that mistake that one time, and remember that you don't want to make that same mistake twice, okay? And if you find yourself making it twice, at least don't make it a third time, all right? Even when you get tempted, just stick to your laurels, stick to what you know works and what you know doesn't. And, you know, continue to get rich slowly. Okay, when things seem too good to be true, or when they are really good, but you're kind of not in the right place for it. You know, you're not ready for it. That's okay. You know, not everybody is ready for every opportunity in the world. You know, one of the biggest opportunities right now is the cryptocurrency opportunity. You know, the gains are insane, but the losses are huge too. And so you just have to be ready for a wild ride if you're going to invest there. And don't invest in cryptocurrencies with money that you can't afford to lose. You know, like these big companies that are putting a bunch of money into it, this is money they have sitting around doing nothing. You know, if anything, losing money to inflation. So they would rather have it in a cryptocurrency that's generally over time been going up quite a bit in value against the US dollar. And eventually, with the technology and everything behind it, what certainly is most likely to happen is that it will become the main usage of everyday transactions in the future. Credit cards and cash are going to be a thing of the past eventually. Cryptocurrencies are going to be the way people are going to be able to pay each other for services and for products on a daily basis. And that's just kind of how it goes. Okay, Bitcoin was the first one. Ethereum and Litecoin, you know, and all the other altcoins are after that. And they have all their own, like, different technologies and different things that make them good. Processing speeds and whatnot. And so you just got to research and find out, you know, what you want to be a part of. What do you want to put your interest into financially? What do you want to put your interest into emotionally? And just focus on what works and avoid what doesn't work. Avoid making those mistakes that can land you in, you know, a big stressful situation that you don't want to be a part of. Okay. Well, that's all I'm going to cover in this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope it was of value to you. If you did get value out of it, please consider leaving a review on the podcast. You just type ecommerceparadise.com/podcast into any browser. It'll take you to the iTunes podcast, and you can leave a review there. I appreciate every review. Thank you, guys. And definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Go to youtube.com/ecommerceparadise. Then you can watch the videos that pop up there. I'm working with a video editor now, so hopefully I'll get some really good videos coming soon. I'm excited about that. And follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/ecommerceparadise. We're posting some great content there as well. And for the future, definitely check out the blog. I'm having a lot of great content published to the blog right now. So ecommerceparadise.com/blog, or just go to ecommerceparadise.com. There's a ton of content on there. And get my free niches list and free mini course as well if you're interested in getting started with e-commerce. And look forward to helping you guys. If you have any questions, email me, Trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. Thanks, and have a great day, and I'll talk to you next time. Take care.